The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Shasta County. It is March. What is today? Today is March 7th, 2024. We are broadcasting live from downtown Reading, heart of District 1. That would be at the station of KCNR 1460. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit slow on my words today because I've had a couple things happen this morning that have just been an absolute, I guess you'd say, really 180 degree of emotion. And so I'll get into that in a second. But first of all, the weather. Sorry. I just realized I said it's March and it's April. So that even just goes to show you how, shaken up I am a little bit about what we'll talk about here in a second. So the weather this week is going to be no rain. It's going to be into the 80s midweek. And it'll be closer to the 70s as we wrap up. And again, Weather NorCal, I get all my weather at Weather NorCal. Mike Kruger, good friend. And I didn't bother him today to write up a little blurb. And partially because I've been prepping for this show because it's been a real, real crazy week this past week and a half. And I think with the station this morning, and I'll jump into that. For those that come to the station or are aware of it, we have a gentleman named Frank. He's a Korean War veteran. He gave me a gift, and again, it's a little garden gnome, right? It's just about the size of my hand, but it says USA, and it's all red, white, and blue. And he said, this is for everything you've put up with to be there for our country, for our county, for me, and for all my brothers and sisters who have fought for this country, and and you're doing it now. And he said some things literally over the last year, 2 years that I've known him that have just been really, really kind. And, it's from a man that just really, really cares about this country and cares about the people in it. So he gives me that. And, it was awesome because, as most of you know, the election was certified. The registrar, the ROV's office, certified that, and we voted, which is more ceremoniously. But, so that's moving on. So that chapter's closed. He gives me that. We talk for a few minutes. So, you feel really good. And then our lovely producer, Christina, and I'm not going to ask her to come on and say anything because she said that, it's not something that she really wants to do. But her father passed away this week, and he's back in Ukraine. And they had the online funeral or service celebration of life, and so she got to view that. And she's troubled because on a lot of levels, obviously, her father passed away, who was 65, but wasn't allowed to leave the country because of the war. So pretty much all men have to stay within the borders, and so her mom was able to leave quite some time ago, and Christina said she doesn't even know why her father passed away because of the war. There are so many bodies in the morgue that they just said because there doesn't look like any kind of foul play or anything like that, or he wasn't a criminal, so there's no autopsy, so it's just over. And so she comes in and we talk for a few moments, and she says, I don't know if your parents are still alive, but just cherish the time you have with them. And she's so right. I mean, I know my mom's listening. I love you a ton, Mom. And my mom, always texts me like 5 minutes before I go on the air asking what it's going to be about. And I get frustrated and I say, hey, I'm trying to prep for my show. Can we not do this now? And if we don't take that time out in our life to really say thank you to the people that do so much for us individually, or not even for us, but just for other people in general, We need to continue to do that, because if you're involved, obviously, vocationally with a job and you're working and you're just head down and you're busy and you just need two more real estate deals, or you need to close one more contract, and then I'll take that vacation, or then I will circle back and say thank you to people or whatever. Just don't miss those opportunities. So, Christina, thank you for everything that you do, and then for being here this morning, because it's super eye-opening, and I appreciate you sharing that, because it'll definitely change my day and it'll change my week. You know, Mike Tyson once said, you know, everyone's got a plan to fight me until they get punched in the face. And that's how I felt with this as I prepped for my show today. I really had a layout of how I wanted to do it and what I was going to tackle. And discussing any of this was far from it. But I'm actually going to switch up some of the things that I was going to talk about at this point. I'm still going to get into our board meeting. We have a pretty good agenda. We have some items that I really want to dive into, especially the CTCL grant and which is R7. But I'm going to start. I'm actually going to flip it. I had a little celebration or a little thank you party, I would say, on Friday night at the Red Line, a couple hundred people. I think it was 180 or it was 180 or 210, something like that. I heard both numbers, but either way, we had a little get together, more of a chance for everyone just to connect and say hi and say thank you to one another that helped on the campaign and election season for myself. And there was people there that, you know, that were with other candidates, and we just kind of made it a get together, cookies, whatnot, at the Red Line, and just a lot of thank yous. And at that, it was great, because there's just a lot of people there that I think what we need to do is we need in this community to get a lot of people together and say, hey, instead of just quote unquote fighting for stuff, which I think is very important, but I think get together and say, hey, how can we get everybody? And when I say everybody, I mean all 180 some thousand residents of Shasta County together, rowing in the same direction, regardless of their political ideologies. But how do we get along and improve things that really matter in people's day-to-day life? So that's what Friday night was really about. But Friday morning, I had coffee at Kaleidoscope, which I always tend to do, or not tend to do. It's a scheduled 8 a.m. coffee with Kevin Cry, Supervisor Cry, on Athens. And we had, I think, 18 to 20 people on Friday, but we had a young lady from Dallas, Texas, who was a reporter with Vote Beat, and she was up and down the state interviewing different you know, people as it relates to elections, different ROV offices, different candidates, different community people. So she was there for about 20 minutes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the call-in line, because if you were at my coffee and were part of that discussion, because we started at 8, I had to leave at 9:30 because I had a 10 a.m. appointment. But they actually stayed. She stayed till a little after 11, and other people actually stayed there till 12:30. The last few people left at 12:30. I mean, you're talking 4.5 hours. And these are people, I mean, some are retired, but many have jobs, have companies, have families. I mean, it's not like people go to coffee at 8 a.m. and think they're going to stay till 12:30. But the discussion was so intense and so positive. And with people with definitely different political ideologies. I mean, we had some people that would consider themselves far left, and we have some that would consider themselves far right, and then we had some in the middle, but they stayed a really long time. So if you were there at the coffee and want to call in at any part of this to just articulate some stuff, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And so she was sitting in the back, and I didn't realize she was a reporter, but I did realize that she had never been there before. So there was people that were asking questions, and I was answering questions. And then finally, I just, you know, I try to include people who are there new for the first time, because I have never once not had somebody new. It's not like it's Cheers and it's just the regulars every time. There's definitely two or three, sometimes, you know, five or six people that are new who have never been. And so, you know, I asked her in the back, and then someone kind of leaned out of the way so I could actually, you know, see her sitting in her chair and not just kind of her head through a small crowd. And she had a notepad, and, you know, her legs are crossed. So it's like, okay, she's probably a reporter. She says, I'm a reporter. I said, yeah, figured that by this point. And she said, she commented about the dialogue that was going on, and how some of it was troubling, some of it was not. But she asked, I want to jump into this, because this was, I think, what really started it very, strongly in terms of the conversation was she, you know, she had mentioned that Kathy Darling Allen has a heart condition and is retiring, and asked if I felt any responsibility for her heart condition. And so we went into this very long discussion about personal responsibility, and I was taken back at it at first because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things said and a lot of things thrown out there that are just so crazy in this recall season or this process that caught me off guard. So finally, as we're going back and forth, I said, you know what, you're right. I just throw my hands up and I said, it's 100% my fault, because as a strength and conditioning professional of over 20 years, I never had asked Kathy if she had done 4 to 5 days of light to moderate cardiovascular activity. I never once asked her if she'd weight trained 2 to 3 times a week, if she's taking various vitamins and minerals, and if she has hereditary genes or tendencies towards heart disease that maybe her diet could have been affected by if she would have done things earlier. And, of course, I was kind of flipping about it because I said, yeah, it's all my fault. And then, then the reporter was really taken back. And I said, look, and then she said, well, you think it's okay or funny? I said, it's absolutely not funny. I don't think it's good at all if anybody has a heart condition or is sick. I said, the point I'm making is, as a society, we have to get back to some personal responsibility. We have to get back to this place that says, I'm responsible for my own actions, and some of us have things that happen that make it tough. Some of us have things that maybe make sometimes life easier. But the conversation that started, that came out of this interaction, was amazing, because then what happened was she was asking other people about how they felt about the political climate and what has caused, let's just say, Shasta County to react the way it is. But the conversation grew much, much larger into basically, I don't want to say a global thing, but something that's about nationwide, because there was one supporter there, supporter of mine. His name's Jason. He's never come to a coffee. And I haven't actually seen him since probably 2020 or 2021. I actually coached him in 1997 at Pacheco. And, he actually then was hired by a contractor to remodel part of my house during COVID. So he started speaking about all the traveling he's done and then his experiences just being kind of a fly on the wall, watching me with my wife and my kids, because he basically lived at the house for 3 or 4 months doing, a large chunk of the remodel when it was his turn. And then he articulated the things he's seen across the country and why we have ended up here, because not enough people have spoken up. People that are just, common sense, sensible, people. And he was referring to myself, but it was great because I'm listening to Jason. It almost sounded like, he was a plant, like I brought him there, but I hadn't seen him in forever. And so the reporter's going back and forth talking to him at quite some time. And then there was a young lady who comes to coffee. She lives in my district. I won't say her name, but she frequents the board meetings. She speaks, I would say, at least on a couple items every board meeting. She would be somebody that you would say originally was not a fan or a supporter of mine in this board majority, but now I can very confidently say she definitely is. And I'm not going to use the word fan, but I'm going to use she's taken the time to get to know me, to get to know my heart, to get to know what I care about and who I am. So I would consider her more than an acquaintance, but I wouldn't necessarily consider her, so to speak, a friend, because we don't spend any time outside of the coffee and those interactions. But she's articulate, and she definitely cares about the county. And so she had a dialogue with the reporter. And this is really what it's about. And then we had another one that was very, very outspoken against me for quite a long time online, and then came to my coffees after March 5th, but wanted to take the time to get to know me before the results would come out. And now she said, she had me pretty much pegged all wrong. She just assumed I was one way because I voted maybe with certain supervisors. But, and I've told her, I said, you need to get to know the other supervisors. Get to know all the supervisors. Don't just form opinions based off what you read in the media. But what came out of this conversation was a true sense of how do we bring everything back together. And what's going to happen is I'm going to have this reporter on my, and she writes, her name's Jessica, she's with Vote Beat. She was going to come on actually today and talk about it, but she's in an area, she lives outside of Dallas, and she's in East Texas today, and her reception's terrible. So she's agreed to come on on the next show in 2 weeks, but I actually may do like a Zoom Facebook Live with her and do it sooner, because I think the conversation's critical. You know, we have the recall group who is still pushing forward. They're going to meet, and they're using it as a which is fine. Like, I think it's positive as long as we're making strides to heal the community. Because, again, when I said I ran as a uniter, I'm still that person, and I've been doing that. The problem is now is I have a much deeper hole, not for me, but for the county to dig out of because of all the vitriol and all the stuff and all the slanderous accusations that are out there, you know, and their website's still up. So when we talk about healing, I mean, I took my recall, you know, Beat the Recall website down like immediately. Theirs is still up. So I would challenge them, if you really want to heal the community, take the site down. Not that I necessarily care if it's up, but a lot of people are looking on how I'm going to handle this, how the other side's going to handle it, how do we move forward and get some things done. And I'm getting a lot of emails actually from the other side, which is nice, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you could have done this a year ago when I first took office, but that's okay. I'm putting that aside, but now let's put our money where our mouth is, and let's get this community back going in a positive direction, doing positive things. We do have our new, so with that, I'm going to segue over. We do have our new county council starting this Monday. So Joe Larmer will be up on the dais or there with the board on Tuesday. His first day's Monday. We have a great agenda with some things I think that definitely I'm looking forward to. But one of the things that we always start with R1, which is our legislative update, which basically all the supervisors give a rundown of what they've done since the last meeting, and then our CEO gives any kind of direction about various bills or legislative items that are coming through the Assembly or the Senate, and just wants us to be aware of in case we want to send a letter of support or opposition, et cetera. R2 is our sheriff is going to be coming in, or possibly just someone from the sheriff's office. I don't know if Sheriff Johnson will be coming in himself or not, but it's going to be about the Ardent Security, providing the security services outside of the Shasta County Jail. I sponsored that. One of the things that I think is really important is that as a private enterprise person, I think anytime we can have private industry provide some services that the county doesn't have to, I think that's very, very positive, especially in the realm of the sheriff's office, because every sheriff's deputy or correctional officer that doesn't have to do tasks that other people can do, especially private industry, so we can put that money into the economy and provide jobs, then it allows those officers or those deputies for the sheriff to do tasks that would be related to, you know, the jail or keeping the areas that obviously contract with our sheriff services, those unincorporated areas, because obviously City of Anderson and City of Reading have their own police forces. So I think that's really positive. That's going to be R2. R3 is we have some options regarding the preservation of election records and voting materials from the June 2022 statewide direct primary election, and consider providing direction to staff. And this was sponsored by Supervisor Jones. One of the things I really, really hoped to do when I was supervisor-elect back in November of 22, and it really didn't become final till I think the very, very last part of November, but I really wanted to work with the clerk's office about and the ROV's office about just voter integrity and some questions that people had brought up during the campaign, that things I thought, yeah, we could probably streamline some things or make it more, not just transparent, because, again, a lot of the stuff, there is a lot of laws and regulations that the state puts on us, but there is some gray areas where I think we could do a better job. So I wanted to really dig into that. And of course, we all know, you know, AB 969 came out of some of that process. But one thing is I didn't get a chance to really work with the ROV's office because it went very, very sideways pretty quickly. And so now we're kind of in this same spot where, you know, there's still people that feel it needs to be better. I think it needs to be better. I don't know that I can I don't know that I believe every thing that's out there, but for me, like, hey, just, you know, prove the point. And I want to put all this to bed about election integrity the best we can. And so one thing we know about Shasta County is Shasta County is different. So how can we do that? Like, how can Shasta County, because, I mean, let's face it, a law, AB 969, came about because of Shasta County. So for us to think that we're just a little county, we can't do anything about any of this, I would say that's completely incorrect. I said, you know, let's lead the way and figure out how to make sure legally and lawfully we can do everything we can to cross every T and dot every I to show everybody that our elections are fair and free, and where there is room for improvement, we make those corrections, or we put things in place to go there. Because I mean, for me, the one thing I am resolute about, like, I have zero doubt about, is our voter rolls. I know those need to be cleaned up. I know, like, 100%. Now, has there been an effort to do that? I can't say yes or no. I'm sure there has been, because I know our ROV, that's one of the things they have to do, is continuously monitor that. But how can we do it faster? How can we do it more secure? And that's one thing, that's one area that I would like to see us make great strides in. So R3 is about providing direction to staff about destroying records from 2022. And I know there's a large number of people who feel the 2022 election was wonky. And I said, hey, let's prove it wasn't. And I think that's the best way to do that. And again, when we talk about the 2022 primary, I finished second place out of three in that race. So, you know, and I could go on and on of why I think I finished second place. But, I think those were the results, personally. Like, I think those were the results. But if people feel differently, I want to see that proved out so we can just put it aside. And again, I will be the first to say, hey, I was wrong, you were right, there was something there. Or I would expect the other side to say, hey, we've been able to turn over every stone, look under every rock, and we were wrong. So that's R3. That'll, I'm sure, bring some discussion. I brought that up. Now you'll see, I'm going to skip down to R7. I won't talk about that quite yet, but, Joanna, Franciscat is, on vacation this week, and I would have put R3 and R7, together so they could have been back to back, but because she's not there, I just split those two up. R4, we're going to get a presentation from our PIO about a new customer service survey that Supervisor Kellstrom, one of the things that he ran on, of course, he ran on term limits, which that got put on the ballot and passed. And then also he really talked about, because he's got a background in management, has done a lot with grocery stores and trucking companies. So one of the things for him was, he really wanted to get a customer service survey. And so people that come in from the community can give their input, so it's not maybe just a person in public comment saying, you know, Public Works is impossible to work with, or Resource Management treated me this way, or HHSA does this or does that. So this way, again, there's not just the one-off people in public comment or email. There's actually a survey. So this is going to be – I'm looking forward to this because I think – again, as a person that has employees, I always want to know, because I'm not a person that says, and my employees know this, I'm not a person that says the customer's always right. I tend to side with my employees, more often, especially my leaders, more often than I side with the public at times, because I know, and I have, vetted my leaders, and my leaders, know and vet our other staff. So that doesn't mean the customer isn't right and we don't look into things. That's 100%. But I think it's really important that there's accountability. And I think this customer service survey that's being brought up is going to be a really, really positive step in the right direction. And then R5, we just have a presentation from support services. That's not something I'll really go into. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, if you want to call in, especially if you're at coffee this week and you decided not to call or you were a little uncomfortable, I would love to get your thoughts at some point about what you heard, because again, I think it was everything that this county needs. This county needs to be able to sit down, have conversations, move forward, and just make it the place that we all want it to be, which is the greatest place on earth to live. So with that, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. We'll take a couple-minute break, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Looking for a career? One that helps your friends, neighbors, and community? Good news! The Redding Rancheria Trinity Health Center is having a job fair Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the new health center in Weaverville. It's your chance to learn about our current career opportunities, meet with representatives from multiple Redding Rancheria departments, discuss employee benefits, and even get assistance submitting applications. The Redding Rancheria Trinity Health Center job fair, Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the new health center. Come and learn how to become part of our work family and make a difference in our community.
Red Bluff Roundup is on April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
People of this country, and we're under attack. They ban us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.
All right, we are back live here at KCNR, downtown Redding, heart of District 1, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. Right before the break, we discussed a little bit about, I came back to the coffee that we had the other day, and I know we had a couple people call in. Christina, do we have, Nick, are you there? Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, I was at your coffee there Friday morning, and I felt like the reporter, she came in wanting to be hostile, and she left as a friend and very impressed how we came together.
Yeah, I and Nick, that was the very first, I believe that's the first coffee you've attended, correct?
Yes, that's right.
That's a little lazy, Nick. That's not very far from your house.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Fake knee, and I just can't jog anymore.
I got you. So Nick, what? How long did you stay till?
9:30.
You stayed till 9:30. Okay. What was the one thing that you think? What do you think when she came in and it kind of started hostile? What do you think? What was the most surprising thing to you? I mean, have you been around reporters in that type of environment? I know you have your show opposite me every Sunday, but I mean, have you been around many reporters and get to see that interaction with a candidate or with an elected official very often?
Oh no, you never see it. You see the reporters already have their mind made up, and you see them trying to trip you up and make a statement that'll be be bad towards you, and I saw her sit there and listen.
Yeah,
That's what impressed me.
Yeah, I was impressed too. We're supposed to. We're going to talk this week. She's going to come on the show here in 2 weeks. But I messaged her and said maybe we just do a Zoom and we do like a live interaction where people could even respond or something like that, because I think it was really positive. So, well, hey Nick, thanks for calling.
I've got one more thing to say.
Go ahead.
This is the first time that I feel like the supervisors listen to the public, mainly you, that when I come and voice an idea or something, that you're willing to listen and maybe talk it over. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much for bringing that attitude to the supervisors.
Oh, thanks, Dick. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. So if you want to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. You know, I got a message here from somebody, I won't say who it was, and I get a few text messages because I don't do a chat room or anything like that. So I'll read you what the person sent me, and I don't want this person to call in and say it was them, because let's just leave it anonymous, I think. But it says, Kevin, I understand your desire to bring people together after the recall, but the leftists will only move their crosshairs to other people. Please understand they want to destroy the United States as a republic and want to, I think they misspelled this, tyranny. They are brainwashed. You must take immediate serious actions to take local control in as many areas as possible. If we do not do any election reform, we will lose a conservative majority by January. So one of the things I think about that message, of the few I've received, is I don't think the individual's wrong, but I don't think that's everybody. I think people get caught up in a movement. I mean, I know that there were people that were extremely against me only because they knew somebody that was, and they were asked for a soundbite or to get involved or hold a sign, and they were actually a little embarrassed that they did it after they found somebody else that said, hey, what are you doing supporting that? Do you know Kevin? And the person says, well, no, but I know so-and-so. It's like, well, here's who he is. And I think that happens on both sides, and not just here locally, but everywhere. I mean, you see, a bench-clearing brawl with the Yankees and Red Sox, and somebody from the Red Sox throwing punches at someone from the Yankees, and the next year they're traded. And then they're on that team, and it's just they realize, oh, these guys are good guys or whatever. I mean, it happens all the time. People, I think, let their emotions get in there. But here's the thing I want to say to this individual that sent this to me. If we don't try and at least to have those conversations and break down the walls with some people, then it is total chaos, and nothing ever gets accomplished. I mean, again, some of the different elected officials that I've met who are running for other offices, some, we have these pretty deep conversations about, like, I feel it's manipulative, or I feel it's not, like, upfront or honest or remotely transparent if you've constantly always got an angle or you don't want to take a stand or it's always in the shadows, like, well, I feel this, but if I come out that strong, I'm going to alienate this group of people. It's like, well, I don't think, you never want to alienate a group of people. But at the same time, I think people just want to know where our elected officials stand. And that gets lost. And it gets lost greatly. And I think once people believe that the elected officials that represent them are truly wear their heart on their sleeve, and who they are is like who they are. Like, I am absolutely not perfect. And I know that. But I am unapologetic for believing what I believe and why I believe it. And I will be apologetic if I ever dismiss somebody and I'm rude. But I got to tell you, sometimes when I sit up there as the chair and I'm listening to public comment, some stuff is so ridiculously out in left field, said about people or said about items, or they so badly botch a quote or botch information that I have to chuckle. And sometimes I become like the fact checker. Like, we have a guy, we'll say his initials, MJ. He comes up and he throws out cities and populations, and he's off. He's off by three states and sometimes quadruple the population. So I fact check it and say, hey, you're saying this. It's completely inaccurate. So anyway, and I can't help myself sometimes because I just think there needs to be some accountability for people just being super off constantly. So anyway, we have a caller. Lori, are you there?
Yep. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Lori.
A clarification question. I've been to some of the Coffee Fridays over there at Kaleidoscope. Great place. However, when there's a larger amount of people, the sound quality gets tricky, the navigation of the room. So I know some people have maybe asked about you might need a larger location and venue. Second thing, if you could, I watched the meeting afterward to capture some notes from the past board meeting. You made some very good remarks about why you had to step away briefly due to exploitation of a minor child in the boardroom when there's some degrees of ruckus, commotion, safety issues, and you also clarified with somebody else who doesn't understand the difference of open public comment where it's not an agendized item, where you do pull people and go, and is this relating to, you know, R4 or C8, or you try to, you know, curb them and herd them into the topic at hand versus open public comment where they have 3 minutes to really basically talk about anything they want within that time limit. So, again, I'm concerned about this
Yeah, okay. I can
it's week of the, what do you call it, week of the young child, April 6th through the 13th. So just put that out there.
And I can respond to that. So a couple of things. One is when people want to speak in open comment, it's supposed to be related to something that has that the board has jurisdiction over. So when people come up and talk about the border or abortion and things like that, you know, you can make some reaches about, like, the border and say, okay, well, what is the county going to do as it relates to maybe not the border but people coming across the border and then looking for services here in Shasta County? So some people can tie that in, and quite honestly, it's their First Amendment right. So I try to be as open and liberal, so to speak, with that interpretation as I can to give people their 3 minutes and just say, okay, look. And some people just take the 3 minutes to sit up there and be slanderous and rant and rave and make no point. And it says more about them than anything else. So I just let them have that 3 minutes because they're entitled to it. And I signed up for that. I signed up to listen. Now, the other thing when we talk about when I excuse myself during a speaker, you know, there's been one time on that dais that I won't say I kicked myself because you have to have grace and compassion for yourself. You have to be able to forgive yourself. And when we had a speaker come up and use a very derogatory word. Now, he didn't use the word in a derogatory it was bad. It was just flat out bad. And my gut, I started to move forward and hit my mic and just say, man, don't say that word. But I didn't because it's his First Amendment right. Do I agree with it? No. But the way he used the word, it's within his right. And I didn't. And, you know, I and other people got a lot of heat for that. So, okay, fine. So I made it myself a promise that I was definitely going to, if I ever felt that way again, I was going to go with my gut. Because I had three rules when I entered politics. A good friend of mine, we came up with three. It was trust your gut, follow the money, no new friends. And I mean, I could unpack those later for you. But my gut, when a person brought a young child up there, and I've worked with kids since 1992, when I was a sophomore, or 91, when I was a sophomore in high school, I started umpiring Little League games. And I've just been around kids ever since. And I saw a speaker, what I believe to be exploiting a child, and my gut just said, this is wrong on so many levels. So I just got up and excused myself because I won't be a part of it. And I'm glad I did, and I would do it again in the sense that, training or teaching kids, and, you know, it's just, it's indoctrination, really. But that's okay. So that's what Lori was referring to on that. So people have their opportunity to say what they want, but I, as a human being and as chair, I get to choose into what I will tolerate and sit through. So with that, I'm going to get back to the board agenda. We have R7, and I skipped over R6, but R7 is one that we put a little bit later in the calendar again because we broke up because Joanna Franciscat isn't there. And this is approving a retroactive grant agreement with the Center for Tech and Civic Life, also known as the CTCL, for a $1.5 million grant and select a spending plan for the fund. So if you remember this came before the board, I believe it was February 28th of 2023, so well over a year ago. And that vote passed 3-2 to accept the grant, but it it only was accepted through the stipulation, and I made the adjustment that said, I want this grant only used for the purchase of a building or to go towards the purchase of a building. So it may not purchase the whole building, obviously, but it would be a down payment, and then we'd be able to move forward in that capacity. And that was 3-2. Supervisors Jones and Supervisors Kellstrom didn't want it. Now, fast forward over a year later, this type of grant, and it's also known as Zuckerbucks, and that's not something that that's being sensationalized or just said, because Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla, they donated a total of $350 million to CTCL through the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, also known as the SVCF. Because I've actually I've looked really deep into this in the past couple weeks since we had since it was coming up on the agenda, and I just really wanted to understand, because back when I voted over a year ago to accept the money, I got some heat for it. Say, why would you accept that money? I said, well, because if it goes to a building, there's no harm, no foul in taking that money. We're just not going to allow it to interfere in our elections. Well, what other people knew, which I didn't spend the time over a year ago of who the CTCL was, they just said, we don't want any part of it at all. And, you know, and I could go into, you know, how deep, and I, you know, I'll say a few things. I have my notes here, but, you know, the founders of it, Tiana Epps Johnson and Donnie Bridges and Whitney May, you know, they're the founders of the CTCL. They're all coworkers at what's known as the NOI, or the New Organizing Institute. And they were there for several years before the organization was dissolved in 2015. And it was described by the Washington Post. Now, keep in mind, the Washington Post isn't the super conservative, periodical, but a reporter for the Washington Post called the NOI the Democratic Party's Hogwarts for digital wizardry. So it was a major training center for left-of-center digital activists over its decade of existence. So additionally, a few of those members from the CTCL's board of directors have strong ties to Democratic political operations, you know, notably Tammy Patrick, a senior advisor to the election program at Pierre Omidyar's Democracy Fund, and Christina Sinclair, who was previously employed by NOI as well as the Progressive Data Service, or she was by the Progressive Data Service Catalyst. So really, the CTCL definitely has its hands very, very deep into election. I don't want to call it just reform, but into election platforms, or they go into ROV offices. So as I started to look a little deeper, because I wanted to understand, you know, why some people were so against it, why did 28 states ban this? And then when I started looking into, and again, this is all documented, you could look it up, the legislature of Kentucky, this is in their report, but in Pennsylvania, the average Trump county that received Zuckerbucks was given about $1.12 per registered voter. So in Pennsylvania, which was a swing state, the average Trump county that received Zuckerbucks, not every one of them received Zuckerbucks, right, or the CTCL grant, but the average Trump county in Pennsylvania was given $1.12 per registered voter. In that same state, Pennsylvania, the average Biden county was granted $4.99 per registered voter. I mean, that's essentially, you know, almost five times. So you say, okay, well, maybe that's an anomaly. And this, again, this is all what the legislature in Kentucky did, and why they banned it, and their presentation and their findings. And then in Georgia, the Biden winning counties received Zuckerbucks at a rate of $7.13 per registered voters, and the counties that Trump won were $1.91. So, and I could go on and on, because it's a really, really long report. And it was one of the states that I found that had really easy to read, consumable graphs and stats about Zuckerbucks. So again, for us, this isn't, and what a lot of counties spent it on was, they spent it on more drop boxes, more software, more printing ability to get out more mail-in ballots, because again, all of that came out of COVID, to be able to get mass amounts of mail-in ballots out. Everybody gets a ballot. So for me, I thought, well, I'm super glad now, super glad I wanted it just for a building. So with this, what we found out this last meeting was essentially And if you go back and watch the meeting, I actually requested emails from staff, and I'm getting more of them, and it goes a lot deeper in terms of how many staff received emails and why the board wasn't notified, you know, months and months and months prior that a building was out of the question. I mean, they essentially knew this because you can, I would tell people, please don't PRA the stuff. If you want it, I can give it all to you because I've requested it and have a lot of it. I can make copies for people. Let's save our clerk or our clerk of the board and her staff time to go out and get all that stuff. I could give you, you know, droves of emails and stuff just to save time because, I don't want them to be inundated with requests, but this is the public's right to know this information. So my thing is, I don't think it's corruption at all. I just think it's complete incompetence that the board doesn't know about this, you know, 8, 9, 10 months ago that, hey, the building's off the table. What else can we move forward for? And I don't mean incompetence, like people are just bad people or they should be fired. That's not what I'm saying at all, but it's just a huge miss. And so how do we bridge that gap where there's not a miss? So when the board has a directive or the board says we're going this direction, but an answer has already been essentially made by individuals that are analysts, I won't say them by name, but when they already know they've done the work on the real estate side and they've had, and I will say, you know, Tom Schreiber as our IT director or our department head of, IT essentially. And he says, hey, here's all the things that, you know, this building, why it would be difficult, why, you know, it isn't the right choice. Because keep in mind, a lot of this was looking for a building for the ability to hand count. Well, we all know that was never going to happen anyway, and I'm sure the ROV's office knew that. I mean, we all knew that. The minute that bill was introduced, that was a freight train. I mean, that was down the tracks. I went to the Secretary of State. I think I was one of the only elected officials there. I think there was one from Orange County that might have been there as well to speak at that hearing. And this wasn't even my fight. This was just something when we talk about local control, I cared a lot about. And so I really come back to when I look at R7, this isn't just about taking that $1.5 million and spending it on things or reimbursing our general fund for things we've already spent. Because what's great about it is that we bought the HART machines. And I'm glad we bought the HART machines because it saved our county a ton of money. Because now we've purchased the equipment outright and we are not leasing it. And if anybody tells you different, they're liars because it saved money. And you can, you know, PRA that and ask Nolda Short. Ask our auditor controller what we were spending versus what we've spent. We've made a capital investment. That is going to come back in droves. That's the way to do it. But we definitely, I want to have this conversation during R7 of why was the board not notified a lot sooner? So if staff's listening to this, because I know some staff does listen to it, I'm going to want answers. And I'm going through a lot of emails and a lot of different chains and say, like, whose ultimate responsibility was it to let us know? Because I think here we are in April of the next year. It's a year later. I mean, they did the walkthroughs on, I believe, April 18th of 2023 of this building originally. So you're talking a year later that we find out. It shouldn't be that at all. Oh, we have a caller. Stones, are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, quickly, yeah. You know, most people are not aware that these non-governmental organizations relating to elections, such as the one on R7, There's many of them around the country, and they're what they're pushing for. Honestly, if you see their work, they're pushing to relax security and transparency and accountability in the elections processes. Very similar to California state law, which every year laws are passed that relax those very important standards. So people have to understand those organizations are not for full transparency and accountability and honesty in elections.
And they need to be.
Fact.
Yeah. You got about 15 more seconds, sir.
And yes, sir. And I want to say we have a really interesting opportunity in the next several months to be God's soldiers. I'm not a current practitioner, but I am a believer. I absolutely believe in good and evil. And we have a chance in the next several months to be God's warriors on this planet and do God's work and do the right thing for the people. And thank you, Kevin. You're doing a great job. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, and I will say, and again, I get some heat once in a while. I wouldn't say heat. I would just some people say, hey, religion has no place in government. And separation of church and state, 100% agree with that. But I can't separate my faith from who I am. So whether people want to call it God's work or not, when it comes to elections, for me, I just want everybody to be able to stare at a piece of paper and say, is that piece of paper blank? Does it have writing on it? Is it orange? Is it blue? I want us all to be able to get to a spot with elections. And this shouldn't be hard to do. And I don't, and I'm going to keep pushing to understand why it seems to be so hard that we can't get everybody on the same side. Because again, in 2016, it was the Democrats that said everything was rigged. In 2020, it's the Republicans saying everything was rigged. And I just got involved. I mean, the very first political awakening to me was when I went to bed in 2020 with Trump winning. I woke up, and now he's losing. I thought, that's weird. But again, I didn't go to a board meeting. I didn't do anything for over a year still. So my first quote-unquote political awakening was just that, where something in my gut said, that's odd. One thing I'll tell you, if you haven't done so already, go to votekevincry.com, votekevincry.com, and subscribe to my newsletter. I'm going to be starting up a newsletter, but I also want to be able to collect all the email addresses and people that want to be informed of things that I'm going to be doing, because if I do a live Zoom with this reporter, again, I don't see it as my responsibility to try and publicize it and put it out there. We may do some things at the last minute, and if you're on this email list and a blast goes out, you'll be notified, hey, Kevin's going to go live with so-and-so or, you know, whatever, because right now I am going to keep pushing as the chair to get great work done for our county, because I think that's the most important thing. But along the way, I also want to get many of you who want to find a place to call home when it comes to getting involved. I don't want to say politically like it's a red or a blue or an independent or a green party type of thing, but where you want to get involved and find a place to volunteer and make a difference. And if that means helping you find a nonprofit to get involved with, or helping a candidate or a school board or a cause or a petition, something around parental rights. Like, I want to help you do that. We have one more caller. We have about, I think, 1 or 2 minutes left. Annie, are you there?
What?
Are you there?
Oh, this is Jenny.
Oh, Jenny. Okay, I'm sorry. The thing said Annie. How you doing, Jenny?
Hi. Hi. No, it's probably because my phone's about to die, so she probably didn't hear me that well. So I'm a little – I didn't get to hear most of your show because I'm just getting tidbits.
We have about 30 seconds, just so you know.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just go back, listen to the show, call in at the next show, or I'll see you at coffee on Friday. Christina, we have about 15 seconds. Okay. Jenny, are you still there? It looks like we have 30 seconds. So if you can get it out, let's go ahead. I want to give you the opportunity.
I just wanted to say that your Friday meeting was really awesome. Like, and how people your coffee was really awesome, and how people were able to like really discuss things civilly and in a way I've never seen it happen in any of your meetings. But I do have pointers that perhaps I would talk to you another time, since we don't have time.
Well, hey, Jenny, thank you for calling in, and I appreciate you being there, and I appreciate you coming in. So, again, and that, maybe that's a good thing to close with for today, is one thing that we have to remember is if we stop having conversations and we stop putting ourselves out there, things are never going to get better. And it has to get better, because I will tell you, I will be a grandfather probably the next time I will be on air. I will be a grandfather, because my daughter is due, I believe, this week or next. But I know my dad's coming up, and so the family's starting to arrive in, waiting for Kylie and Carson to have our first grandchild. And it would be my mom and dad's first great-grandchild. Man, we are all getting old. With that, Shasta County, I love you. I appreciate you. This is a place in a country that's worth fighting for. Don't ever stop, but don't ever stop thinking that we can't try and find common ground to make this area better, because the thing about kids, they're not going to stop making them, and we got to make the world better for them. With that, have a great couple weeks.
Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light. But you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never come. what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.